Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Reformation, which took place over 500 years ago, could perhaps be summed up in this way. It was all about a return to the Word of God, to its authoritative truth, its magnificent beauty, and its wholesome goodness. The Reformation was all about the Word of God, sola scriptura. The scriptural witness alone became a pivotal centerpiece of the Church's Reformation. Luther placed the Bible into the center of his theological instruction by changing the focus of the curriculum. And for the common man, Luther did a very naughty thing in those days. He translated the Bible into the language of the people. In this way, God's Word and Gospel and sacraments could be understood and believed by the common man. This work led to renewed forms of worship, the writing of hymns in the language of the people, and revised catechisms for teaching God's Word to the young and old alike. The very same catechisms, in fact, which have been instrumental in bringing Andrew and Dixie and Duke and Christy to the waters of holy baptism, and for Josh and Christy and Dixie to receive the Lord's Supper with us for the first time this day. Luther's work has also brought to us a renewed appreciation for the sacredness of domestic life and the workplace. No longer to be a good Christian, you have to go off to a monastery or on some kind of holy pilgrimage. To be a good Christian is to go about the things in your vocation with faith and trust in God, your daily work. And as Luther taught, a mother that changes the dirty diaper is holier than all the monks in the monastery, when she changes it in faith. I like that one. All of this was kindled by Luther's profound conviction that the Bible was the Word of God. Such a view was not in itself unusual in that day. What was unusual, however, was his singular focus on the Word as the source and goal of all Christian life. While the medieval church tended to focus its faith and piety on devotional and liturgical ritual, both priestly and lay, Luther believed that the church was born and sustained solely by the Word. The Word preached, heard, sung, read, and believed. As we remember Luther and the Reformation 500 years later, we do well to remember clearly that the religious core of his work was his deep love and reverence for the Word of God. Luther's faith in the Word of God permeated into his entire theology. It always included the Bible, but it is also much more than this. For Luther, God's Word was, first of all, the primordial Word of creation that brought into being all things from nothing. And God said, "Let there be," and there was. Yet this Word of creation was not simply a thing from the ancient past, but continued to sound throughout the creation, sustaining, making new, making life possible, without which no life could be. And so it was not just God made the heavens and the earth, but God has made me, my eyes, my ears, and all my senses, and still takes care of them. And it is this very same creative Word that incomprehensibly also became flesh and dwelt among us. This means that the very life and light of creation became inseparable from Jesus, who was the very embodiment of the Word and who proclaimed this Spirit-filled Word to a broken, dark, and chaotic world, like we hear him doing today in our gospel lesson for that young nobleman's son. This very same work of Christ we witness him performing in our very own midst this morning, welcoming new members to our congregation through baptism and to the rail for the first time. How? By the power of His Word. This living and active Word was for Luther the primary sense of the Word of God. Jesus wasn't just the teacher and preacher of yesterday. He is our teacher and preacher today, working saving faith and performing humble miracles like forgiving sins, bringing to baptism and to the Lord's Supper. Humble miracles by His Word alone. At its heart, then, God's Word, or the Bible, is not just a set of religious writings, but a recorded testimony of God's faithful promises fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It is a declaration of divine grace, an announcement of good news, that God Himself has reconciled us in His Son. Or as Luther would say it, it is the manner of the New Testament and the Gospel that it must be preached and performed by word of mouth and a living voice. It is perhaps not surprising, then, that most of Luther's preaching and teaching on the Gospel is largely found not in his lectures or in his commentaries, but in his sermons. And they were long, by the way. In the sermon, the living voice of the New Testament finds its home, not in the voice of the preacher, but in the heart of the one who hears the Word, who upon hearing the Word believes in Christ, and by believing has life in His name. Consider this excerpt from Luther's Advent sermon in 1522, only 5 short years after those 95 theses. Christ taking upon Himself our humanity would have profited no one had it not meant the proclamation of the Gospel. The Gospel was to present Him to the whole world, revealing the fact that He became a man for the sake of imparting the blessing to all who upon hearing the Gospel should believe in Him. Paul tells us the Gospel was promised of God, from which we may infer God placed more emphasis upon the Gospel, the public revelation of Christ through the Word, than upon His physical birth, His advent in human form. God's purpose was concerning the Gospel and our faith, and He permitted His Son to assume humanity for the sake of making possible the preaching of this Word-made-flesh Gospel of Christ, that through the revealed Word, salvation in Christ might be brought near, might come to all the world. How can Christ profit us unless He is embraced by faith? But how can He be embraced by faith where the Gospel is not preached? Thus writes Luther. So preaching, teaching, and conversing about God's Word, then, is at the very heart of the Scriptures, the heart of the Church, the very heart of the Christian life and witness. Through the proclamation of the Word, whether publicly by a pastor or by a brother or sister baptized in Christ, through this proclamation, God continues to destroy our presumptions, our idols, our false pieties, in order to create new hearts that cling to the one thing needful. Through hearing the Word, we are brought to repentance. We see all that Christ suffered for our sakes because of our sin. Through the hearing of the Word, we receive God's Spirit and the forgiveness of sins by His atoning death on the cross. And through the hearing of the Word, we find reconciliation and peace with God in Christ, and more than just with God, with each other. Even the sacraments are a proclamation of the Word, bringing the faithful into a new world, a new kingdom in which the Savior's supper and chronicle is celebrated forever. For all of Luther's lofty language about the Word, he also celebrated the lowly, common, even fragile means through which God's word comes to us men. God uses our own language, our own tongues and feeble voices, simple water, meager morsels of bread and wine, to convey his righteousness from one believing sinner to another. The preacher, too, is just one sinner among many, a clay vessel carrying the same priceless treasure. God's word takes up no uniquely divine language or tongue, but clothes itself in what seems all too human and too foolish to accomplish such great things. Nevertheless, both prophet and apostle profess the same. The word of the Lord endures forever. Today, by this very same word, God has graciously enlarged and enriched his family. Therefore, it is most fitting for us on this Reformation Day to rejoice with increasing fervor. For the fruits of the Reformation are still being proved in our midst. And it's funny, you think I planned it all this on Reformation Day. I did not. It just happened to be. So, beloved, there is much to remember and celebrate on this day. But nothing gives us greater cause for confidence, humility, or gratitude than the life that God gives us through his word. And so I end this sermon on Lutheran Reformation with a word from Luther himself. He says, "What is Luther? The teaching is not mine, nor is I crucified for anyone. How did I, poor stinking bag of maggots that I am, come to the point where people call the children of Christ by my evil name? I simply taught, preached, wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Philip and Amsdorf, the word so greatly weakened the papacy that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing. God's word did everything." Amen. We stand to sing the